Welcome back to the Gospel Fantasy. Man, look, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're knee deep in the off season, which is normally when you see a lot of dynasty moves, but it's never too early to start getting ready for redraft. But we got a lot to talk about, news and notes, Simon. And then we're going to focus a little bit more on dynasty today, kind of looking at the running backs and wide receivers that are kind of getting to that age where we may start to see some decline, or we have already started to see some decline, and what we may want to do with those guys. Are they guys that we may want to go after because the decline and the value don't equal out and what you would have to give up for them is well worth it? Or maybe you want to get out from under them a year too early versus a year too late, and there'll be no better time than the present as far as value that you can get in return. So we will look at both of those aspects. But remember, you can catch us on YouTube at The Gospel STP. Again, that's on YouTube at The Gospel STP. And if you haven't joined the Facebook group yet, shame on you. If this is your first time hearing us, then make sure you go ahead and do it right now, along with everyone else that hasn't done it just yet. But that's on Facebook, The Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. Let's go right ahead and hop into it. Again, I'm your Jose, the Fantasy Football Fiend, and I have my guy, Young Vander, the Fantasy Nostradamus. Holla at the congregation.
Hey, what's going on out there?
All right, so Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh is kind of heating up. Is this good, bad, indifferent? How are you viewing this situation as far as for A-Rod, as far as the wide receivers there? Pittsburgh in general, how are we feeling about this? Because it almost feels inevitable, but Aaron Rodgers just wants to, I guess, make sure that there's absolutely zero way that the Vikings are going to call his number before he makes the decision to go to Pittsburgh is what it's feeling like. But how are you feeling about this situation?
I mean, at this point, it just seems like this is his, this is all that's left. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh wasn't his first choice. I'm not even sure if it was his second choice. I think the Giants pretty much made their decisions on theirs. Minnesota came out and made their decisions, and Pittsburgh is the one still waiting around holding the card, right? So I think it works out as far as signal callers that's left. Again, I think you did probably still go out the one in the draft.
Yeah.
You know, get a younger guy and just let A-Rod, you know, I don't know if he's going to really be much of a teacher, but the young guy.
You can pick up a lot by watching, though. Right. That's about all you're going to get from him. But you can pick up a lot from watching someone in the right way. Yeah.
Again, and no knock on A-Rod, because, I mean, that's what he got. Mm-hmm. You got to understand, like, sometimes it's a learned behavior. Brett Favre did him that way when he was there, right? Brett Favre wasn't the jolliest and most helping guy ahead anyway. You know, it's like, this guy's trying to take my job, so just – pay attention, you know what I'm saying? And that's probably why A-Rod, maybe he adopted some of that. But I think as far as Pittsburgh goes, I think it's good for the offense. Again, they still have a horrible offensive coordinator. But if anybody can make a horrible offensive coordinator look decent, it'll be A-Rod for sure.
So another guy that he is available, he isn't available. They're fine with keeping him. They may want to trade him. I don't know what Atlanta's about to do with Kirk Cousins, but as of right now, he's already indicated that he won't be at OTAs. It's looking like they're going to trade him at some point, but they're trying to put it out there as they have the leverage because they kind of want to keep him unless you can just offer them something that they can't say no to. That's really what it feels like they're trying to set up. But in all honesty, if Penix is your guy and you've truly moved on, you got to get that guy out of there. Like it's not going to be a healthy situation for any of the parties involved. I don't think that Kirk Cousins will be demonstrative in any way. He won't be a Aaron Rodgers or a Cam Newton type of situation where, hey, I want the job and I'm better than you won't have to worry about all of that. But it's known that plenty of teams would love to have him and he would love to go there. They're just trying to figure out what the compensation is going to look like. So I could see something happening with him, you know, by or possibly even during the draft. If a certain team kind of doesn't get their guy based on someone else drafting them earlier than they thought they would, or whatever the case may be, then I can see someone making a move like that. But keep your eye out there. Are there any spots that make the most sense to you?
To me, I mean, my personal, Minnesota, go back home, being that you still have a young quarterback working his way back off an injury. You can go right back, jump right back in. You know the system. You know the guys. For that 1 year,
If that was going to be the case, I think they would have brought in Aaron Rodgers. And the only reason I'm saying that is, well, what I'm trying to say is, I think that JJ is healthy. If he wasn't and they needed a stopgap, I think they've kind of moved on. I do see your point as far as get fit, but I think they would have went the Aaron Rodgers route, put a Band-Aid on it for a year.
Yeah, versus, I'm not saying they're going to do this now. I'm just saying if it was me,
I got you.
Stopgap would be Kirk Cousins because he's somebody that's familiar with the offense. And J.J. McCarthy, even though I know he's the guy that was in waiting, but this is essentially his rookie season we're about to see, right? So why not have a guy like Kirk come in, show him the ropes? I think Kirk would be a better teacher than an Aaron Rodgers.
I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? I think Kirk would just be better for Minnesota than Aaron Rodgers in general because he's familiar with the offense. He already has a rapport with Justin Jefferson, with that, you know what I'm saying, the receivers and things of that nature. So I just think he will be the better fit. Now, as far as guys that actually need a quarterback, the Browns, I guess. I mean, at this point, everybody's pretty much got their guys moving forward, and the ones that don't is going to grab them in the draft, like the Tennessees and things of that nature. So,
but I mean, now the Browns are drafting second. They can draft their guy too if they want to.
They could, but I think they were really, and then again, they could very well go with a Shador, but the way things look like it's panning out, you know, Cam Ward, they're not going to be able to get him. Therefore, they'll probably take Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, yeah, I mean, they could get Shador if they wanted to, but I think maybe just so one. They don't want to be financially tied into anything, I think, right? This is just a cluster. You feeling the rest up there. You know what I'm saying? So, I guess the Browns, like I said, that's left. There's not really any teams left that actually need a quarterback. That's not in position to get one.
Except Pittsburgh. I mean, you still have the Raiders.
Yeah, but they got Geno Smith and they just gave him some money.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That's right. They just paid Geno. Yeah. You got Cleveland and that's about it, actually. Barring injury. So another quarterback situation. We got Richardson and Jones set to split first team reps. Who's the better fantasy option for the players that they will be throwing the ball to? We already know as far as running is concerned, that definitely gives an additional element. So a healthy Richardson would put up more points than Jones would as far as at the quarterback position. But looking at all the other positions on the field, wide receiver, tight end, running back, et cetera, which quarterback is actually better for the actual offense?
At this point, I'm going with Jones. Okay. I think Richardson's shown you what he can do in this offense with these skill players. We haven't seen Jones with this good of an offensive line.
Right.
And maybe with a better signal caller, maybe he can, you know, breathe some life into his own career. I mean, we've seen it done with guys like Geno Smith, right? When Geno Smith was with the Jets, you thought his career
was done.
Right? Sam Darnold with the Jets. You thought his career was done. He was
even
these guys were turning into journeymen, right? Mm-hmm. Dalton, Geno, these guys were going from team to team being backups. And now they're starters again. Baker Mayfield again.
Yeah.
Went from a starter to a backup. And he's like, he's going to be a career backup. And then, boom, find the right system, the right coaching. And maybe we could see the same thing in the Daniel Jones. He probably would be one of my sleeper quarterbacks going into the season. I'm not saying I'm going to be as high on him as I was last year with Sam, but for me, I'm going to go with Jones because we don't know what he can be in his offense. I think we've seen enough of Richardson, and I just don't think it's there.
Justin Fields has already been named the 2025 starter for the Jets. It's also been said that he's looking better now than he has looked in any of his previous stops, which is par for the course. He's a young man. He's learning more and more each year. He's had a few different stops to pick up a few different things. And now reuniting him with one of the better wide receivers that he's ever thrown the ball to, that he's comfortable with and that is comfortable with him, is Justin Fields maybe one of those guys that are going to be at the latter parts of drafts that is on that going to produce or going to outproduce by a long shot where it was he was drafted? And how are we feeling about his pieces within the Jets offense?
I mean, I would say I'm more concerned about the signal caller, the OC, and how that's going to look. Because we've seen Justin Jefferson, he's now on his what? This may be his third or fourth. Maybe I think his fourth different coach, right? So let's see if he can
get. He's had a new coach every year, basically.
Let's see if he can get familiar with something. I don't give a damn how you look right now in your shorts and your helmet and how you look with a, you know, who cares? Yeah, you look good throwing the ball around right now. Yeah, that's cool. But let's see if you look, how you look when Myles Garrett chasing you around the field and all that kind of thing. So I'm at that point right now. So right now, there's nothing to really see here. Yeah, you have some familiarity with Garrett Wilson. That's a great thing. We've seen wide receivers have good fantasy seasons with him, like DJ Moore had one with Fields. So we know that could happen. So I think Wilson will be okay. But as far as everything else, let's just see how it looks, how his offense looks, how he looks, and how the comfort level is.
Brandon Ayuk is still a 49er, and that means his $22.85 million roster bonus has hit, which also means that he won't be going anywhere, at least for this year, unless the 49ers just get a deal that they can't refuse based on draft compensation, because they're going to be stuck on the hook for the vast majority of his salary for this year. How are you feeling about Brandon Ayuk's prognosis? Is he a guy that you attempt to go get on the low right now? Is he a guy that you're steering clear of because you don't have a sense of what his value is going to be? How are we feeling about Brandon?
Personally, I'm not a fan of it. I don't like the money he's being paid. But I think as far as the dynasty and the fantasy level goes, I would play off the injury. I would play off of the possibility of being traded and see if I could go get him. I wouldn't pay top premium price for him. But I think he is a guy that I'll feel comfortable going to get. Being what he should be for this offense, he is the number one uno guy at this point. And maybe some of the guys' minds forgot about it due to the injury and not seeing him play without Deebo for a full season, things like that. I would definitely play off of the IU owner's head right now when it comes to that. So, yeah, I'm okay with going to get him, but I'm not going to pay, you know, something crazy for him. But, yeah, I'm cool with someone going to get him for sure.
And lastly, a little bit of running back news, not necessarily news per se, just a quote that I kind of wanted to get your gut instinct on. New Jets head coach Aaron Glenn said on Monday that Hall is one of the three running backs that the team wants to utilize as much as possible. Does that give you any cause for pause? Is this going to go from a solo act based on the last coaching regime and then switching over to a committee now? And maybe Hall doesn't have the same, maybe having less bites at the apple could possibly help a running back of his, of his type, where he can still get those, you know, bust out those big plays, but not get the wear and tear. But does this scare you as far as Hall not getting that volume that we're used to him getting, or at least that's what the coach is kind of hinting at? Like, what's your gut instinct on this running back situation for the Jets?
Definitely not the best of news. Now, can he be successful when sharing? Of course. I mean, we've seen it done. Glenn is coming from a system where they have more than one back, right? There's no bell cow in Detroit. I think he's probably going to lean to that style of football where he's going to have a 1A, 1B. So it's kind of two things could be true. Yes, I'm concerned because he won't be the bell cow, but can he be still successful with sharing? Absolutely. He just got to make the best of whatever he's getting. So I think he's going to be, you know, I think he's going to be fine, but I still, it's still a little knock to him. He will fall a little bit because I see Breece more as a volume guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's a guy that needs the carries, needs the touches in order to be successful. He's not like a Jahmyr Gibbs where you can just give him, he's going to make the best out of whatever he gets. I don't see him as that guy. I think he needs the volume. And then eventually you see the production. So
I hear you saying he won't be as valuable as he has been in the past, but he still has value.
Correct. Because again, Montgomery, would you see Montgomery as a valuable back in this league?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And he's with Jahmyr. I think Jahmyr was like third this past season, something like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, we've seen two running backs be successful many times. And I think this is one of those situations where he's probably going to get the first bite at the apple, but I will be aware of who they end up drafting.
Mm-hmm.
Don't automatically think, guys, that Allen is your guy, right? Like, okay, let me get some Braylon Allen stock, because not necessarily, because we've seen where when the OC came to Detroit, is it Johnson, the head coach of the Bears now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And remember Swift was there, and it wasn't, they got rid of Swift.
Yeah.
And drafted Jahmyr. So yeah, it's one of them things, like, pay attention also who the Jets draft in this. If you see them go up to the running back, that's more than likely going to be your guy who they like. Because right now they're just giving these guys. These are none of their guys that's in there right now. So I would be aware of that. Whoever they draft for as running back could possibly be the 1B guy, not actually Braylon Allen. Because he don't have that he's not that lightning. You got two Thunder guys.
That's what I was going to say. They don't have, honestly, Hall can be your lightning guy.
He can be, but not like a Travion Henderson, if that makes sense, right? Like, there's a little more lightning to, not saying Breece is like just some brawler. He's not fast or nothing like that, but that little different kind of wibble. I don't know.
We'll see how that goes. But yeah, make sure you keep an eye on all of that good stuff. And we'll definitely, after the draft goes down, we'll give you a reassessment, if you will, value based on predicted volume. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get into the meat of the show. So traditionally speaking, historically speaking, if you will, we found that for running backs, we start to see your steepest declines between the ages of 28 and 30, and that's right around the 6th to 8th season in the league. And honestly, you start to see a bit of a decline at the age of 26, again, historically speaking. But the cliff for a lot of running backs has been somewhere at that age between 28 to 30. Conversely, as far as wide receivers are concerned, they tend to last a little bit longer. So for my money, I tend to attempt to go wide receiver heavy when I'm looking at dynasties, because they're going to give you a little bit more longevity. They'll be in their peak a little bit longer, if you will. But we're going to go over some running backs as well as wide receivers that are in this age range that we're speaking to, where we're going to start seeing some declines are likely, if you will. And we want to get you ahead of the power curve as far as, is this a guy that maybe you want to go grab, because the value that you're going to be able to get based on what you have to give up is going to make it worth it, even though they're an elder statesman? Or is this somebody that you want to go ahead and trade right now, because you're never going to get more for them than you can this offseason? So we'll go through a few names and we'll give a few opinions as far as that is concerned. So the first few guys up, we have Raheem Mostert, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, and Austin Eckler. How are we looking at these guys? Are these guys that we might want to go after? Are there guys that we want to, if we do have currently on our dynasty teams, that we want to go ahead and push on down the road? How are you seeing it for this year and for the next couple years. Obviously,
now, this is strange because there's one more thing that's missing, and that's when you just stay the course, right? I think Derrick Henry is one of those guys where he's been hearing the noise for the last 3-4 years. Oh, this is the year he's about to fall off. He's getting old. He's 30 now. He's falling off. He's going, and he never disappoint. And I think he's one of those guys where you just have to stay the course and you just ride it until the wagon just, you know, you don't trade him. You roll with him. Do you go get him? No. Yeah. But what kind of compensation are you going to get? I'm a gambler guy. I'm going to do the things the guys, the experts are going to say don't do. If I'm at the back of the first round, I'm trading for Derrick Henry. That's just me. But a lot of people feel like that's too much of compensation for this old of a running back. But if I'm in win mode now and I'm trying to win now, if you got 112, hell, go for it. You know what I'm saying? I just think guys like him and Kamara as well, you kind of want to hold put if you're the owners. Unless somebody blow you away with a deal. But again, their coach came out, I think today, actually, yesterday, and said Kamara's going to be a big part of his offense. We've seen Kellen Moore, running backs in the Kellen Moore system. I like Kamara. I think he's one of the guys that's, you know, he's going to show you something a little different in this style of system. As far as Mostert and Eckler, hell, you shouldn't even have him probably anyway, right? Don't go buy that. You know what I'm saying? Nobody is buying Cole. You know what I'm saying? We hear Cole is, who invests in Cole anymore? Is Cole even a valuable asset anymore in the world?
In West Virginia, it is. That's
so
about it.
There's probably some Cole at this point. I wouldn't, hell, if somebody want to buy them, sell them. I'll sell them for third round picks at this moment. Okay. Just let them go. I think you'll find way more value in this, especially in this upcoming draft. There's a ton of rookie running backs that's probably going to pay dividends for you. So I'm letting them go for the low. And if I'm a Henry owner, Kamara owner, I'm staying put. I'm not trading them unless I'm just blown away. And I'm okay with trading a back end first round for both of those guys. That's just me. A lot of people be like, no, this is my first round pick. This is my first round pick. I don't care about me. I'm not a picks is cool. If you're in the top end and you're getting the Gentes and the Cam Wards and the Brian Thomases and the Marvin Harrisons, and okay, cool. But when you at 112 and 2-5, it's not really a big gap as you think. Right? So yeah, 112, I make it looks good because it's a first round pick and you sell it that way. Man, this is a first rounder. It's really like a high end second rounder, right? A glorified two. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm selling that.
Few other guys here. We have Kareem Hunt, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, James Conner.
Let's start with Joe Mixon. I like Joe Mixon. I'm definitely trading for Joe Mixon. I'm trading for Joe Mixon, and I'm keeping Joe Mixon if you're a Joe Mixon owner. Thank Conner. That thing is, you've been waiting for that thing to blow up in your face for a minute, and it just hasn't, right?
It's Pittsburgh.
I'm getting rid of Conner, though. I think it's a perfect opportunity. You sell the last couple years of health and production with him. You sell that. I'm okay with getting rid of him. And I wouldn't go trade for Conner. So you don't trade for him. You're the Conner owner. You let him go. Kareem Hunt, third rounder. Don't trade for him. And if you have him, hell, I have him in the league. And I can't even get a third for him. Like, nobody would give me a third for him. I'll take a 312 at this point. I'd rather just free up the roster space and give him one of those last minute gems rookies that's coming up. So
I like him as a handcuff if you have Isaiah Pacheco, who hasn't shown himself to be as healthy. However, as you stated a little bit earlier, you have to look out for the draft and see. Even if, as far as running back is concerned, it don't matter. They can draft somebody in the 6th or 7th round. You still have to be cognizant for the move that was made, because you don't have to draft a running back that high that will fit your system. And Andy Reid is known for bringing in guys that may have been undrafted free agents. and they just fit the system. So,
well, they just brought in Elijah Mitchell as well. So don't forget he's on the team.
Not worry about him. He stay hurt. He stay hurt more than Pacheco and anybody else. He hurt right now.
And they also have, it seemed like there's one more guy missing.
The dude that was the rookie? That
No.
We thought he was going to be good, and then he ended up not even getting on the field at all. I forget his name.
Yeah, but not him. I can actually see the Chiefs drafting a running back as well.
Possible. Like, definitely possible.
I could definitely see that. They pick up Keontae Ingram, so he probably won't be anybody as well. But yeah, I'm selling Hunt. And then the last one, what was the last guy you said?
That was Aaron Jones.
I'm definitely selling Aaron Jones. I'm not. News just came out that Jordan Mason would be 1B. And 1B is short yardage and goal line.
Yeah.
And with that,
I mean, it's essentially what he's done his whole career. If you go all the way back to Green Bay, he was never a volume. Aaron Jones, I'm speaking to, he was never a volume guy. There was always another pounded guy, and he was like the third down, but I can be lightning in a bottle and pop this third down off to be a touchdown type of guy. So I honestly feel like it's putting him in a position that could give him a little bit more longevity in his career, however long that may be, even if that's still only a season or two.
Yeah, but at what percentage? I think with those Packers teams, he was getting a little bit a bigger piece of the pie. So even though he was sharing with guys like A.J. Dillon and something like that, mm-hmm. I think his share of the pie probably was a lot bigger. And now that he is approaching the age, those are the younger years. Now that he is getting old there, I'm selling him. I'm selling Jones.
For sure.
Not mine.
For sure. I believe that he'll end up being the 1C back by the time it's all said and done. If Mason can reproduce a semblance of what there was in San Francisco. And also, he's going to be on my list of running backs to go after. Speaking of Mason, value running backs. We'll talk about that a little bit in the future. Some other big names. Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, David Montgomery.
I would sell McCaffrey right now. And not because I think he's not going to give me something good. I think he's a sleeper being where he's currently ranked, like especially in a redraft. But I think this is your last time to get top value for him. I think it's going to be your last hurrah. Yeah, I think he's still like 27, 28. So he's not quite 30 yet.
I think he'll be 27.
I think this is your last swing at it. And I'm selling him. Nice with them first round picks if you can get them, or a collective of players. I'm not necessarily going to buy him right now because I think that the McCaffrey owner still has him high as giraffe. You know what I'm saying? He's still that to them. So the McCaffrey owner is not going to let you get him for nothing.
Right.
So for that, I would not pay high dollar for him, but I will sell him if somebody come. I think Jacobs, you got to stay in the fire with him at this point, coming off a good season. He's showing that he can catch the ball. That was one of the things that people want to see. He is the guy. He's pretty much a bell cow at this point. There's not many in the league, but he's the bell cow. Same for Saquon. You ride it right now, just ride it. You can't sell Saquon at this point. What you going to sell him for? I mean, it had to be a king's ransom at this point. I mean, we've seen him behind a premier offensive line. And you see what he can do. I mean, this dude ragging off 200-yard games like it ain't nothing. So, no, you don't sell Saquon. And, hell, don't go after him because what you going to do, trade your whole team? Because the Saquon owner, you will have to, like, the trade going to look so crazy, the league going to be upset at this point if you do. You know what I mean? It's going to look that lopsided if you were to make the move. So, no. And as far as that last guy.
David Montgomery.
Yeah, I'm selling that because this thing is about to explode. Jahmyr Gibbs, we've seen him. He's shown what he can do when he's the guy. If you go look at the year he had and you take the numbers and you let him, the games that he was by himself, and you do that over a 17-game span, it's insane. He's the number one running back, clearly.
Yeah.
He one of them dudes, you know what I'm saying? And that thing is about to explode. David Montgomery, another banged up season. I'm not going after him unless I give us, peanuts. If you're a team like, you already kind of loaded and you just want to, get that extra running back in there, I'm doing it, but I'm not going to buy him. And if you can sell him, I definitely sell him.
Let's go ahead and move on over to the wide receivers. We have DeAndre Hopkins, Devonta Adams, Adam Thielen, and Mike Evans.
Adam Thielen, what are we talking about? And DeAndre Hopkins, what the hell are we talking about? These guys are nothing much but fill-ins, bye week and injury and desperation plays at this point. I don't think they're going to really bring much to the table. Thielen didn't play bad when given opportunity, but he's going to get hurt. It's in the cards. He's definitely going to miss some games. Again, these are third-round guys. If you're the owner, sell them for a third-round pick. I'm a Thielen owner. I asked for a third-round pick. No one came calling. So what is that telling you? Right? And I got Carolina Panther fans in the room. Not one person came calling. I'll take a third for him. Nobody's interested. So that's telling you everything you need to know about that. As far as Devonta Adams, I'm definitely selling if I can go younger. If you're the Devonta Adams owner, even though I think he's going to have a pretty good season, but this is going to be your very last time in order to get value for him. If you wait a year, like you were just saying, be a year too early than a year too late, because this is it. This is it. This is his last stretch, his last good contract. This is probably one of the better quarterbacks he played with, besides Rodgers in the Green Bay days. But I'm definitely selling him, and I'm selling the news. I'm selling it to the guy that, hey, this is Devonta Adams. This is the best. I'm selling that part. But I'm not going to buy him.
Okay.
So for the guys that's listening, like, what do you mean? When I say sell him, that's if you're the owner. But don't go purchase him if he's not on your team. I don't think he's, it's going to be fair to you. If that makes sense. And lastly, Mike Evans, sell.
Okay.
I know. Mike Evans had 1,000 yards every season he's been playing. I get it. New OC in the building. And he's been playing well with any OC, any quarterback. I think him and Baker have a pretty good rapport. But again, this is last ditch moment. You're never going to get what you can get for him right now. So go ahead and be a year too early. Besides, like you say, wait until he's DeAndre Hopkins. Right? Because that day is coming. Remember, DeAndre used to be the guy. He was that man. He was a number one wide receiver in fantasy at one point. But now nobody wants him. And Mike Evans, his time is coming. So go ahead and sell now before you get to that point. And I'm not going to purchase him. So again, it's another one of those situations where if I'm the owner, I'm selling. And if I don't have him, I'm not searching for him. But then you can go out and find and go elsewhere when it comes to guys like that. So yeah, I'm definitely selling Evans.
Last group of wide receivers here. Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, Chris Godwin, Brandon Cooks. So again, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, Chris Godwin, Brandon Cooks. How are we feeling about these guys?
Sell them all.
Sell them all. Okay.
Brandon Cooks.
No, he just went back home to the Saints.
Cool.
And he's had a pretty decent season last time he played. I want to say that his last relevant fantasy season may have been with Derek Carr, if I recall correctly.
And he's going to have maybe a game or two. But I think these are guys, again, third-round pick. Just give me something for him. He's out of here. Cooper Kupp. Now, I want a second round for Cooper Kupp at least. Okay. I'm going to try to see if I can steal two tools out of you. I'm going to sell the news. I'm going to Stephon Diggs. I'm going to sell the news. He's the new number one wide receiver in New England. Now, I think I can't see him having a pretty good season due to the offense he's in, and he's the number one guy. He should get the targets that he's looking for. I can see that. And I am a purchaser of him. I will go buy him. So I will go buy Stephon Diggs.
What do you think a fair price for him would be?
If we're talking picks, I give you a second rounder for him.
Early, mid, late?
Mid to late.
Okay. Now, do you think the Stephon Diggs owner is going to be willing to move him for a mid to late second?
It depends on what kind of league you're in. Because a lot of these other leagues I see trades, they think, they will say that's too much. They'll think it's a third. But if you want to pay premium, if you're a good tipper, you know what I'm saying? Then you play the second rounder. But a lot of these leagues, they'll say a third is fair. And most of these people say a third is fair. But me, I like to be treated nicely when I'm in a restaurant. So I'm going to pay a little bit more. And I'll give you the second rounder for him. So he's a guy we'll purchase for the second round pick. What was the other names again?
Chris Godwin.
I'm selling Chris Godwin.
Okay.
I'm not a buyer. I'm done. He's injured a couple times. New OC as well. I'm not. This is a guy I'm not searching for. I'm not seeking him out. So I'm not a buyer. I'm not going to buy him. But if I'm an owner, I'll sell.
Let me ask you this. What if the Chris Godwin owner feels the way that you do and you can get him for a third?
I'm selling the name, so I want a second.
No, what I'm asking is, at what price does he become a value?
If I'm the owner or if I'm the buyer?
If you're the buyer.
You do it for a third.
Okay.
Yeah, you do it for a third because a third ain't might not be nothing.
But if you're the owner, you want to try to get a second? Is that kind of how you... Okay.
Absolutely. You don't only get a second. If you a buyer, to get a third. So that's why there's always the back and forth discussions. This is what trading is about. One person want one thing and one person want another. So this guy want a second. This guy want to give up a third. And that's is where the balance is. Now you may add a player. You may add Cooks or one of these Hopkins or whoever. You may add another little piece to make somebody make it them feel like now was a fair deal. A third and D-Hop.
Or a third this year and a third next year.
Yeah. Or two thirds. Right? So that's the pretty much the balance when it comes to that. And lastly,
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I'm selling him. And it's not like I don't believe in Tyreek, but again, I hate to sound like a broken record. This is the very last time you're gonna get something that pristine. He's coming down right now.
Right.
Right? This is a guy that's top five. He's down about 12 now. Right? So that means he's on, and 12 is usually the floor of wide receiver ones, correct?
Correct.
He's right there right now. So this is your last chance to get possible wide receiver one compensation. And you go for that. Again, late one. I'm not buying for a late one, but I sell him for a late one. I think Tyreek can still have a good season. He seemed like he's motivated. He said he want to come out and prove. So I'm cool with that. But again, if we're talking about dynasty leagues, this is your last time to really get a full fair value for him. And I'm selling him.
And that wraps it up for this week. We will be back to you on next Wednesday, breaking down the wonderful world of fantasy football. Make sure you tune into the Gospel Fantasy Football Show on next week. For this week, we out. And remember, always tell the truth. Nothing but the truth. Y'all be easy.